Well, hi, everybody. Hi. It's nice to see you. It's nice to be here. It is a pleasure and a delight to be here. I think I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, but I just want to say off the bat that I grew up in a Christian home. I married a guy who was a youth pastor. We've been in ministry. We have done lots of ministry things in our life. And I will tell you that it is my firm conviction and belief that the fort is a special place and, if not the best camp in the world, close to it. I think it's probably the best. And for the reason, for many, many reasons, the staff is probably the first in my mind, because I don't know that I've ever seen a staff that loves so well both each other and those of us who come here who know how to serve in a way that I have not seen done in a lot of Christian ministries, who make me feel like they're always saying, what else can we do for you to make you have the most wonderful time in your whole life when you come up here? And I think I've actually heard that out of a couple of their mouths before. So I just want to tell you that I am delighted beyond what I can tell you that I'm able to be here. Secondly, I know that God does great stuff here, and so I'm excited for what He's going to do among all of us this weekend. And I also know that we have been praying that God would do something pretty wonderful and amazing. And so I trust that that's going to happen. I also know that you have shown up, and many of you have shown up and are here in situations and scenarios that you are saying, God, please, if you don't tell me something this weekend, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I know that. And I know that we all come here and everybody's in the middle of their own story and their own experience and their own stuff. And we come together as if we can set it aside for a while, but I know you carry it with you. And I am praying with you that God will answer some of the questions in your heart and in your heads this weekend. So I'm just glad to be part of it. I have to tell you, when I saw Stephanie today and I knew that she was here, I thought, forget it, I'm not speaking this weekend. I'm just going to say, Stephanie, just do it all for the whole time. Just sing, lead us into worship, that's all we need. And so I have been with Stephanie other times, and the Lord uses her and her gifts and her abilities to draw me closer to Himself in a way that's unique and wonderful. And so glad you're here, Stephanie. So, all right, I thought that you might just want to know a little bit about me so you can understand the context from which I come, because I come, and like Stephanie said, I am ready to talk to you about a few things from God's Word that I have been meditating on for a while. And so I'm aware that I'm in a place where I don't know most of you. I hardly know any of you. And so let me just tell you a few things about myself, okay? I'm from Fredericksburg, Virginia. So I just have to get it flat out there right away. I am a Southerner. Do we have any Southerners represent? One, where are you from, darling? Darling, where are you from? Atlanta. You're from Atlanta. Oh, honey, I'm so glad you're here. Any other? Okay, and
I'm from Gunbarrel City, Texas.
Well, Texas is the South, but it's a different kind of South. It's like its own South. I'm a professor, and I ask my students where they're from, and I had this one class the last semester, and this one student started from, and I'm from the great state of Texas, and I had, for some reason, about five in the class from Texas, and I'm from the great state of Texas, and I'm from the great state of Virginia, so, but I grew up in the South, and I still go home and people say to me, Pam, you like living up there in that north yet? Do you like it up there? How are those Yankees to you, honey? So they just, I don't know, what can I tell you? The South, as I grew up understanding that the South would rise again, but I know that means nothing to you. But it was cross-stitched and hung in every house that I ever was in the South. So, and I, my father was a pastor. So I grew up in a home where I was around ministry a lot. And my parents, my mother went to Moody Bible Institute, but my parents then she went down to Columbia Bible College in South Carolina, which is the town of my birth. And so they had that in their background. And one of the things about Columbia Bible College, if any of you, Columbia International University, if some of you are familiar with that, is they had a camp in Asheville, North Carolina, that we used to go to when I was a child, sort of like the fort. That was our tradition for a while. And that camp was a boarding school during the school year. So I spent 4 years in high school. That's the main building that was on the peak of a mountain that looked over the valley of Asheville, North Carolina. And that's where I saw many beautiful sunrises and sunsets that God thrilled my heart, sort of like the nature out here. Now, we sang How Great Thou Art, and it talks about being on the mountain. And I'm like, I love this beauty up here, too, but there aren't any mountains. So I have adjusted, and I loved what we enjoyed today. It was such a gift. So I grew up, and I went to a boarding school for high school, and then I went from Asheville, North Carolina, and came up to the great state of Illinois and went to Moody Bible Institute, which is where I met my husband. And from there, we got married. He was in seminary. He was a youth pastor for 18 years. And then 20 years ago, he started teaching at Moody Bible Institute. So, and 10 years ago, I started teaching at Moody Bible Institute. So that's where we are today. And I thought, well, I think I'll just tell you what I teach. So I am in the pastoral studies department, and I oversee two majors. So I oversee ministry to women, which has been my heartbeat for pretty much all my life. You look back and see how dots connect, and I realized that from a very young age, I wanted to do ministry to women. So that's why I'm in hug heaven right now. But I teach women to do ministry to women, and that's in churches and in ministries like Crew. We have a Crew member here that in college ministries and mission organizations all over, because what I know is that all Christian women will do ministry to other women. And so I love teaching that. A couple years ago, I started a new major called Ministry to Victims of Sexual Exploitation. And I know many of you are so aware of what is happening all around the world with so many men and women and boys and girls who are being exploited sexually. And so as a nation, as our government, the UN, our government, and churches and Christians have a strong passion to do something about that. I feel like the Spirit has kind of breathed over all of us to get interested and to be aware, because we have to do something to help people who are being exploited. And so I oversee a ministry, a major where men and women study to minister to victims of sexual exploitation. So some of the classes I teach are, I teach a class for our pastoral majors, the men at our school who are training to be pastors. They sort of need to know how to do ministry to women too, right? So I love teaching a class to, I have a class of 40 men, and we talk about how to do ministry to women in their congregations. I teach spiritual life and community, strategies for ministry to women, mentoring and discipling women, the theology of women in ministry. Y'all want to talk about that? Everybody likes to talk about that. Ministry to women in pain, and then my husband and I teach a class on marriage and family, where we stand side by side and sort of tell them what we know, teach them some theories and systems, and then we work it out in front of them. It's always interesting. I was just telling somebody that before we came here that he did something in class the other day, and I cracked up, the kind of cracking up that you do that you can't stop laughing and you can't catch your breath and you can't, there's no way to stop. So you just never know what's going to happen. So here's my husband, Bob, when we did a little zip lining this spring. And here we are with our three lovely grandchildren that I will tell you about. And I just wanted you to know that, is there a pointer on here? I just want you to know that I enjoy fishing. And, oh, thank you. And can you see? That is not my bait. That is, I think, a largemouth bass. This has not been a good year for fishing for us. That's the only fish I caught in about four different big attempts. This is sweet Georgia Ray. She's 2.5. This is sweet little Sally, and she's a year. And this is sweet little Hattie, and she's 10 months old. And there you go. We can all go home now. So, my children. You know, I always forget. I have two daughters and two son-in-laws, but you want me to go back to my grandchildren? No. So anyway, that's it. That's a little bit of my life, and you can turn that off because I don't know how to turn it off. All right, so that's a little bit about me. Oh, they're gone. So, all right, today we're going to start tonight, and we are going to go into God's Word. And you know, when I knew I was coming, I thought, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? Because I just want a fresh word. And so the Lord led me to 2 Peter. So I would like you to open your scriptures and turn to 2 Peter. In 1 Peter, Peter is talking to Jews that have been dispersed all over, and he really is talking to them about God's grace in a way that was his theme. But when he moves into 2 Peter, what Peter wants us to understand is that it is important that you know something about God that's true. He wants to talk to you from the beginning chapter to the last chapter. It is sort of bookended in him saying what you know about God is important to your life. And your knowledge of God gives you power to live in a way that he wants you to live. And so our four sessions are going to talk about the power that we need for our life. And tonight we're going to talk about that in terms of the knowledge of God's power for our life. So let me begin by reading God's word to you. So 2 Peter, I'm in chapter 1, and I will start with verse 1, but the verses that we will center on for our time, the sessions that we have together are verse 2 to verse 9. So 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. So that's who's writing. He's telling us who he is. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. In other words, you know what? The faith that we have is equal. Just because he's an apostle doesn't mean that it's different than ours. We all have this faith that is a gift of God. It's equal. It's precious. A faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What you know about God and what you know about Jesus is critical to your entire life. It's the most important thing. What you know about who God is and what you know about Jesus, what you know about the Spirit is so important. And he is speaking to people who have had false teachers come in and confuse them. And so his point is, you need to know the right thing. You need to know what's true. So he says this, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So, we're going to talk over the next couple days. Today we're going to talk about the knowledge of God. Tomorrow morning we'll talk about the promises of God and the power that we get from the promises of God. And tomorrow night we'll talk about the power in life that we have in faith in God. And then we will talk, lastly, about the power that we have for life that comes from the assurance that we have of God. So that's where we're headed. So what I want you to know is that it's very important who God is and who we are. Calvin said this, John Calvin said this, the more you know about God, the more you know about yourself. And the more you know about yourself, the more you know about God. Isn't that interesting? The more you know about God, the more you know about yourself. Mainly what you know is that you're not Him. That's mainly what you know. And the more you know about yourself, the more you know about God. So it works both ways. So we are a people that need to know God, and we need to know ourselves too. So I want you to know that, and know that everything that we need for our life and to be godly comes from what we know to be true about God. So if you believe, if you know right, you believe right. If you believe right, you live right. And God says in His Word. And so I want you to know that everything you need for your life and everything that you need to be godly is already yours. And you have that. So He says, the verses that we're looking at again, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellency and excellence. So the knowledge that is talked about here is a knowledge of God that is true. So it has to be right. And that's why Peter is saying we need to combat those who would tell you false information, and we need to know what is right. But when you know what is right, it's also personal, because your knowledge of God is that you know Him because you are in relationship with Him. So the knowledge here is both fact and personal. It's both objective truth, what is true, and then the experience that we have of knowing God. It's personal and it's true. So what do you need power for right now in your life? I want you to think about that. If we are able to have power for everything that we need to do in our life and how to be the having the evidence of godliness in our life, what do you need power for right now? Have you thought about that? You came up here, I said I've prayed that you would get answers for things that are issues in your life, and usually that means that you want power to do something about something. Power is a very important thing. It lets you have effect, and it lets you cause change in your life. It's not a good thing in life to say, I am powerless, right? If you feel like you're in a relationship and you feel powerless, that's not a good thing. You want power to do what's right and to make that relationship thrive and grow and be all that God wants you to be. So for me, I know that I want to have power to know how to do the things that God has put in my life to do. Right now, I'm a professor, and I want to know that God will give me everything that I need by His power to do what He wants me to do as a professor. I have students who come in my office all the time with issues that I can't even begin to tell you how tragic they are. The tragic experience of students today is overwhelming. A lot, if not most, of our students show up in a place of woundedness because they have experienced things before they come to Moody Bible Institute that can be described as horrific, terrible, overwhelming, unbelievable, and just they lay me out flat before the Lord. Now we have some students who come and, you know, they've had a life that is mostly free of that kind of trauma, but we have a lot that come that way. So I want power to know what to do with that. I want God's power to give me knowledge to know what to do. I've got two daughters. Now, I know in this room we have mothers who have children at all stages of life, and so I remember what I wanted to have. I wanted so much to be the best mother ever and know how to do that. I needed God's power in my life to tell me what I needed to know to do that well. And now I have grandchildren. And that's a whole new ball of wax. You don't get to be the mother, you get to be the grandmother. And so, and now I have a daughter that I'm not the mother that tells her what to do the way I did when she was 13, but now I have to be a mother in a different way. I mean, tell me that's not a shift. And nobody talks about that. Nobody told me that being a mother to an adult child takes a whole different kind of knowledge and wisdom. I have a dad who's 83, who is living on his own and doing well, but I'm telling you what, to think about and having my dad be 83, Lord, I need something. I have friends right now who are going through crises that are, again, horrific. I mean, not just little stuff. Big things. So I wonder if you're like that too. You have friends who are going through things that you just don't even know what to do. You don't know what to do. What is it for you? What is it? How about your marriage? Is it a coexistence of two people and it's not working? Is it we're both trying to work really hard and it's still not working? Marriage today is overwhelmed by so many issues and problems that maybe had been silent in the past or not as prevalent. My husband and I in marriage and family class just taught four classes on pornography and what it does to a wife when a husband is into pornography, and it's devastating. And what happens when it's the wife who's into pornography? And what happens then? What happens when it's your child? What happens when it's your seven-year-old? There are issues that we're facing. When we pay attention to what's going on in the world, I don't know about you, but are y'all waiting for the next shoe to drop? You know, I feel like I heard today that there was a fire in the tower at O'Hare, and my first response was, it's terrorism. I mean, we are all poised and being told to be poised for terrorism on our own soil. There's a lot that we look and say, really, Lord, you have told us that your power will give us what we need to handle all of our life, everything in life. And he says he has. So what is it for you? I want to tell you about a missions trip that I took a couple years ago. At Moody Bible Institute, we have 2 weeks of spring break rather than 1 week of spring break so that our students or whoever can go on missions trip. And so there are like 30, 40 different missions trips that happen. A couple years ago, I took 8 of my students to Uganda and was with a friend who had connections which made this sort of a dream trip. So I had a friend of mine who said, "Oh, you're going to Africa. Are you going to have to sleep in like in a hut on the bare ground?" And I said, "Well, actually, I'm going to be in the Sheraton." Sorry to burst your missionary slide bubble, but you know, and the reason was, part of the reason was, is I was going with a friend who had set this up. She has an organization that raises money for women and children, and she had gotten connections with the First Lady of Uganda, who was very concerned about the women in Uganda and done a lot of different initiatives for women. And the story that is behind that is so fun to tell, but I can't tell that now. But anyway, the trip that I took with 8 of my students was, we went over to Uganda. We were able to spend a week with the First Lady, traveling with her in a caravan throughout the country so that she could look and show us, she could go and observe initiatives that she had put into place for women in the communities in little towns throughout Uganda. And she set it up so that we would have access to heads of state, to ambassadors, to heads of departments at universities, all with the intent to ask the question, what is the situation for women in your country? What are you doing about it, and what do you need? And underneath it all, because she is a beautiful Christian woman, what do you see God doing, and how do you think God has wired you to serve the women of your country? So we got to see all this. So this one day, we showed up in our caravan, and when I mean caravan, we were in a 15-passenger bus that looks like sort of like the Pope Mobile. It had, you know, big windows so that you wouldn't miss any of the countryside. And so the eight students and I left our two valets in the back. You know, they had done, they were finished serving us fresh squeezed juice and fresh cut fruit and fresh baked goods for our exhausting trip through the country. So we left them in the back. I mean, this was sort of unreal. My students the whole time were like, we have like waiters that travel with us and feed us? That's not exactly the missions trip my church thinks I'm on. So we got out and we went to this field, and in this field they have a tent for the First Lady and for all of the military people that traveled with her. And on the other tent was the people from the town who had come to greet the First Lady. And the children in the town, all dressed in their finery, who had come to sing for the First Lady. And the mayor of the town gets up and reads from Scripture and prays and leads the whole community in prayer because it is a Christian nation. And we stand there, and the project that we were seeing was a woman who was representing a woman's coalition in town who had, it had been formed when the First Lady gave some seed money, and the woman that I was with had also given money, had given seed money, and this woman had created this coalition of women. They created a business, and they got a grinder to grind wheat, and they had gone through the whole cycle of a couple years of planting corn and svelte and another and barley, I think, and they had learned how to have productive crops. They ground the wheat and the grain, and they sold it, and they had a business that had been productive, and they had women in the community who could build houses for their children. They could feed their children. They could send their children to school, and they were creating, getting out of the cycle of poverty and creating this amazing thing. And the whole time I was hearing them say things like, you know, if we only had a generator, we could grind wheat at night because we want to do more. And if we only had a generator, we could grind wheat at night and we could do more. And I'm thinking, I'm going to call Bob tonight and say, honey, guess what? I bought a generator. You know, I'm thinking, I mean, seriously, how much can a generator cost? And you got a whole town that is profiting from this. So the women stood up and said, thank you, Madam First Lady. Actually, they call her Mama Janet because that's the respectful way to address an older woman in Africa. Thank you, Mama Janet. What you did for us made it so that we could feed our children. Another one, thank you, Mama Janet. What you did for us made it so that we have money to send our children to school. And all this is going on. It's just mind-blowing. And I had seen several different programs like that along the way. I'm sitting here so thankful, thinking, oh, that just a little help means so much. So I'm listening to this, and the woman that I'm with, who has raised millions of dollars in Barrington, Illinois, to send money here, gets up and she says to the women, she says, I'm so proud of you. You have done so well. You have worked so hard. You have cared for your families. You have changed your entire community. You have done all this, and I'm so very proud of you. And she had brought little boxes of watches that you kind of get at TJ Maxx for $7, you know, and she gave them to them. You would have think that, you know, they all had Rolexes now. But she said, this is your time. This is your time to do what you can for your community. And I'm thinking, she's going to give them a generator. I know she's going to give them a generator because they want to work all night. And, I mean, if you want to work, let them work. Help them work. So I'm kind of going. And she sat there and she said, I know y'all want a generator. Well, she probably said, I know that you want a generator. I know that you want a generator. And I am so proud of you that you want to work so hard. But I have to tell you, I don't think that I want to give you a generator. She said, I've thought about it, and I don't think I want to give you a generator. And she said to them, I would like to give you a truck. If I gave you a truck, do you think you could use a truck in your business? Do you think that since you have saturated your community by selling them a lot of grain, if you had a truck, could you take your products to other communities, sell there, and then could you come back and could you think you could make enough money to buy a generator so that you could work? These women were stunned. Now, I told you the tents were across the meadow, and part of that is because of security, and they were not to come near the First Lady, right? These women who were in charge of this group stood up and couldn't help themselves, and they ran. They got up, and they were like, I can't believe it. They start running, and then they get halfway there, and they realize what they're doing, and they stop, and they're like, oh, no. They didn't know what to do. Do we go back? We can't go forward. We can't go back. We're in the middle of the meadow. It was really cute. And so she invited them to come. Vicki invited her to come. They hugged her, and then they went and hugged the First Lady. And I was stunned. I was sitting there, and I was thinking, how did she know to give them a truck? I mean, I thought they needed a generator. They said they needed a generator. And so afterwards, I said, okay, Vicki, you have to tell me this. How'd you know to give them a truck? And how'd you know? Did they want a truck? How'd you know? Did you know they wanted a truck? And she said, they didn't want a truck. She said, they didn't know to want a truck. You can't want something you don't know anything about. You cannot want what you've never had experience with. You can't know that. She said, but I knew that they needed a truck, and I knew what that could do for them. And I was sitting there going, oh, my word. I just saw something amazing that matters to my life. Because right away I was thinking, you know what? She did for them what they didn't know they needed, what they didn't know they wanted. But what she did is going to continue to change their life in an even bigger way. It's going to matter to the needs of their life in an even bigger way. And what I realized was that, you know what? We don't know about the power of God. We don't know God. We don't know who He is. We don't know what He can do. And in so doing, we don't even know what God can do for us. We don't know what to ask for. We don't know what He could do. And part of that is that we've never even seen it in our own life. We haven't experienced it in our own life. And sometimes we haven't even seen it in the lives of others. But what Peter is saying here is that we have a God who has divine power. Divine power. A power that goes beyond what we can think. A divine power. And He has granted us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. But it comes through who we know He is, what we know about Him. And so do you see why it's so important that we know who God is? When you know that He is a God that provides, when you know that He is a God that gives you what you need, that is beyond what you even know to ask for, it's beyond what you even know to hope for, it's beyond what you even know to pray for, but you know He's more than what you think, then what happens is God does things in your life to reveal Himself to you over and over and over. You learn more about who He is, and in that, He gives you what you need for your life, and He gives you what you need to be more like Him, to be godly. So when I say all that, I say that our knowledge is limited sometimes. We don't even know what to hope for. Our knowledge is limited. We don't know what to expect God can do. We don't even know what is consistent with His nature. We need to get to know God. And we need to ask Him that He would do that. And by His divine power, which means He does extravagantly, and His divine power is infinite. And in His infinite power, He will do for you what you can't even hope for. So when you think about that, you know that He's more. And we don't even know what to think or pray. So Peter says that through knowledge of Him. So what that means is that as you get to know Him more, He reveals it to you and He transforms you. And He does it in you. He will do things for you that you don't even know to ask for. So this weekend, I want you to ask that God will teach you something. Maybe answer the questions, some of the questions you show up with. But wouldn't it be sort of cool if as God increased your knowledge of him, that he surprised you with something? That he revealed something that you didn't even know to ask? The relationship that you have with God is, as in the last part of verse 3, it says, the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So what that means is that it's not only that it ends up that it brings him glory, it's not only by his glory and excellence that he does it in us, but it's also that he adds to us glory and excellence because we are attached to him. Tomorrow we're going to look at some of his promises, and we're going to see how what he has promised us is that we will be, we are as a believer in Christ, and that means that what he promises us, he does. He gives us what we need for life and godliness, but all those promises are beyond what we even know or understand completely. So, I want to pray for you and pray that God will teach you, will reveal himself to you, reveal himself in truth and in your relationship to him, and answer questions that you have as you show up. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you have said in 2 Peter that when we know you and the knowledge of you brings us grace, it brings us peace, it brings us power, and that you grant it to us so that our life will be what you want it to be. We will reflect you. We will we share in being in Christ so that the godliness that we are given from you reflects you, but also you show others by our life. And we are grateful for that. So, Father, teach us, I pray, and I pray that we will increase in knowledge of you this week. And in the name of Jesus, amen.